Hello and welcome back to the Rufus Project. I know we've had a little break, and that's because we wanted to bring you a whole new season of the Rufus Project. I'm your host, Trevor Holland, and I am joined by my good friend, co-host, and king of cult cinema in Brisbane,
Christian Fletcher. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and listeners of the Rufus Project. Oh my gosh, Trevor, it's so exciting to be back for season two.
Absolutely. Now, if you are new to the podcast, probably should give you a quick rundown on what you can expect. Essentially, it's a geeky podcast, but I don't mean just game geeky or computer geeky. It's whatever geeky, and it's whatever is grabbing Christian and my geeky attention at the time. So we talk about games, we talk about movies, we talk about music, we talk about all sorts of things.
Yeah, definitely to me an overview of pop culture, both old and new, I suppose, Trevor. So it encompasses all of that, which I think is really exciting too. So you don't even have to be a geek to enjoy the Rufus Project.
That's right. And so it's basically divided into a few sections. First up is the geekiest bit, which I tend to run with, which is things like recent geek news, a bit of gaming chat. Then we move on to the more pop culture stuff, which is definitely Christian's area of expertise. Then we also have a segment which we call our local wildlife section, where we will talk about upcoming events and hopefully have an interview. And this time we have got one awesome interview with the cast of the Priori podcast, which is another Australian podcast that I think people should listen to. So that's definitely something to listen out for a bit later on.
And I'm excited to be back with all my, I suppose, cult movie news, you know, both contemporary cult classics and our favourite retro ones. And of course, talking about my 70s and 80s parties and all that sort of stuff. And as Trevor said, very much ties into the things that we're very passionate about at that particular time. So you don't know what to expect with each podcast.
That's right. Now, returning listeners may notice that we didn't mention anything about the redeeming features. But if you are a regular listener, you should already know that the redeeming features is now its own podcast. So if we'll talk about that at the end, but if you do want to hear those redeeming features, you've only got to wait another week. Okay? That's going to come out next week. Yep, we're going weekly. And, it's probably slightly insane to do that, but, you know, we'll give it a go.
Oh, I can't wait, Trevor. The thing, if you haven't caught the redeeming features, listeners, you're in for a treat, because it's new, improved, but still mentioning all of your favourites like before. So I can't wait to see what movies we uncover.
Oh, yeah. It's always an interesting experience with that.
Definitely.
Fantastic. Well, that's enough of that chat, I think. So everyone out there, sit back, relax, enjoy the podcast.
Enjoy.
And now it's time for the geek news. And okay, it's been a while since I've done this. Quite a bit that has happened, so I'm obviously going to keep my focus tight on a few major things. Probably the biggest thing and the most unfortunate thing to happen since we last discussed the geek news is that the Australian site-blocking anti-piracy legislation passed the Senate. There were basically no modifications to what was originally proposed, despite the Greens and some independents pushing for a few changes to help soften the blow, but who cares about the Australian public when you can protect one of your main donators? Ooh, controversial. Of course, Foxtel did not take very long. They released a statement amazingly fast. Wonder if they had some insider knowledge, saying how welcoming they were of this new legislation because they seem to be under the mistaken impression that it will actually make a difference. Major Australian tech news site Gizmodo Australia also was quite quick off the mark with, first up, a story all about why the Aussie site blocking legislation was pointless, and less than 48 hours also had up a nice guide on some of the best VPNs out there. Now, I've got all that linked below. Go check it out. I'm going to stop now before I go super duper ranty. In other news, Netflix in Australia has over 10 times the subscribers of its nearest competition, being Foxtel's Presto service, and closely behind that is Stan. We won't bother mentioning the other ones because, frankly, they don't really count. I do think Netflix got a bit of a boost here because there has been a lot of talk about people letting their US subscription lapse and signing up for the Australian service, since you can still use VPN and unblocking sites to switch between regions. It doesn't matter where in the world your account is set up. In concerning news, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is apparently set to star in a movie adaptation of the arcade game Rampage. If you're unfamiliar with it, it was a single screen where you got to play one of three monsters going on a rampage. You destroyed buildings, you ate people, you had to fight off the military. It was very basic, not a lot of story to it. Feature movie material? I enjoyed the game, but I'm really not too sure about that step. I guess time will tell. But really the biggest news of the past few weeks has to be that Fallout 4 has been announced and is coming out in November! Oh, tell you what, I was up at midnight. The trailer launched at the same time worldwide. I was there. It was midnight in Australia when the first trailer came online. And yes, I made sure I was there to see it as soon as possible once it was up. Absolutely glorious. And yes, this news gave me full on nerdgasm. Nerdgasm. I'm gonna have one now! Squee! Fallout 4, I'm so excited! Now, of course, with the geek news, I'm going to try to finish off with the Clever Geek. This time around, the Clever Geek goes to the new boss of Canadian telecom giant Bell Media, who basically found out that her daughter was accessing Netflix from the US via a VPN service and called her daughter a thief. Flat out, plain and simple, called her own 15-year-old daughter a thief for paying for a service and just using a bypass to get more from that service. A thief. Marianne Turk? You're such a clever geek. Well, as you may have guessed from the geek news, I am very, very excited that Fallout 4 is on its way to our modern consoles. But as you may realise as this particular podcast progresses, it's going to take a bit of a 90s flavour. So between that news and the whole 90s thing, what better time than to have a quick look back at the original Fallout and Fallout 2 from 97 and 1998 respectively. These were quite amazing for their time and very, very progressive, I suppose you could say. Fallout 1 was an isometric role-playing game set in a post-apocalyptic future, which saw your character leaving the safety of the vault where survivors from a nuclear holocaust hid in order to find a water purifier to save everybody else in your vault. You venture out into the wasteland facing all sorts of mean beasties and other humans, both friendly and unfriendly. What really set Fallout apart was a lot of the game could actually be done without combat. You still had your random monsters in the wastelands that you had to fight against, but a lot of the bad guys, if you had sufficiently high skill level, you could talk your way out of so many situations. When you did get into combat, it also had a feature where you could target specific body parts in an effort to reduce the effectiveness of your opponent and could really help in some trickier battles. It also featured animated discussions with some of these other non-player characters, fully voiced and acted quite well. It was so popular that within a year, in 1998, the sequel Fallout 2 hit the shelves, promising more of the same. This one instead had you as a descendant of that original vault dweller who came out into the wasteland, and you get sent off by your tribe, because you now live above ground, to find the mysterious Gek, the Garden of Eden creation kit, to again help save your tribe. Along the way, not only do you have to face the beasties and the trials similar to the first game, you also had to contend with the one who was the original chosen one sent out to find this, who failed and was banished from the tribe. It turns up a few times, helps you learn that combat mechanic. Quite handy, really. Another really interesting thing in Fallout 2, which ties into very recent events, is that in Fallout 2, you could actually have same-sex marriage. Now that was progressive for the time. Now it can be difficult to go back to these games now. They were both available through GOG.com, but unfortunately some licensing things came through, they had to withdraw them from sale. Both the games are still available on Steam though, and should run quite well on that platform. Now, if you are used to the more shinier Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, again, it could be a bit difficult going back, but it's certainly worth a try. Even just to hear Ron Perlman yet again let you know that war never changes. Oh, it's so good, that opening. Damn it, now I want to play Fallout. Enjoy!
War never changes. The Romans waged war to gather slaves and wealth. Spain built an empire from its lust for gold and territory. Hitler shaped a battered Germany into an economic superpower. But war never changes.
It's really hard for me to understand now that the whole wave of retro has sort of moved on to the next generation. Whilst we're still loving our 50s and 60s, our 70s and 80s, and the nights are still popular with the parties that we run, I'm finding that now the 90s is becoming the new retro. Possibly saying the 90s is the new 80s would be more appropriate. It's hard to believe that I'd be enjoying the 1990s. Considering I actually lived through it, I find it more exciting to look back at an era that I possibly didn't live through or barely remember. So it's really interesting with the 90s how I'm actually being able to remember these things. A lot of these things that are now having anniversaries, being able to look down 20 years down the track. For example, 1995, it's been 20 years since Toy Story, Batman Forever, you know, the one with Val Kilmer and Jim Carrey, and Jumanji with Robin Williams. These films, whilst aren't necessarily deemed as classic, in my eyes, I think this next generation definitely sees these as worthy contenders due to the fact that they would have seen them quite a lot on VHS as a kid growing up, having them around them, and a lot of these films were quite instrumental in my childhood as well. This week, Madonna announced that she is touring Australia for the first time since 1993, so people were swept up in Madonna mania. The 90s was kicked off with the release of Vogue and her greatest hits collection, the Immaculate Collection. She had controversial videos for Justify My Love, and this would start off the whole sort of sex period that Madonna has sort of become synonymous with even to this day. So with this tour coming up, it's definitely like we're back in the 90s again. There were also such TV shows as Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. People were playing with things such as Pokemon and Tamagotchi. They all seem to be these crazy, wonderful, wacky things from Japan that we seem to clutch onto. In music, we saw a very big change. I know at first I sort of discounted the 90s music as being quite an extension of, I suppose, the 80s, but more of a happy sort of vibe. But really, when you look underneath the surface, you've got a lot of grunge, a lot of darker sort of stuff. I'm talking things like bands like Nirvana, then other bands such as, you know, Hole, Smashing Pumpkins, Soundgarden, Stone Temple Pilots. And, you know, it made you realise that the 90s was as worthy as these other decades as being quite rich in its musical landscape. I know I got my first Nintendo Game Boy in 1993. They seemed to be all the rage. And I remember going over to a lot of people's homes just to try out their versions of Super Mario Brothers. Hey, we even got a motion picture with Bob Hoskins in 1993. So video games were definitely at a high, even as popular as they are now. In technology, I remember a lot of people having Furbies. I remember even going on a plane once and one of the caution sheets read, you know, no Furbies allowed on this flight. So the fact that they'd penetrated pop culture so much was quite interesting. The clothing was outlandish. We were all sort of basing our pants off the happy pants worn by MC Hammer in You Can't Touch This. I mean, denim was still very popular, and I remember girls having the very scrunchied hair. So we were still very much living that 80s look, but we're still taking on that whole sort of spin on its own. We were sort of throwing out the fluoro and bringing in more of those sort of neutral colours, and that definitely was represented with the grunge and the sort of the darker music and pop culture at the time. Love it or hate it, the 90s revival is definitely here. Let's embrace the music, the movies, let's look back at the pop culture that we enjoyed so much, and let's party like it's 1995.
I've got quite a treat tonight. I've managed to get the entire cast of a new podcast, new Australian podcast, with a bit of a difference on the line. I recently was introduced to the Priori podcast by a friend of mine who happens to be a cast member as well, and I am very, very, very happy to welcome Emily Craven, Kevin Powell, Sam Piaggio, Colin Smith, and Lois Spangler. I hope I pronounced those all right.
Yeah,
it's all good. Hello.
Oh, good stuff. To the podcast. So, hi everyone, and thanks so much for chatting on the Rufus Project.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you. Very pleasure. Much.
Awesome. My pleasure. Now, people aren't listening to me, so it's about you guys. So I thought maybe we could start with just a quick around the table, if you want to call it that, over Skype. If you can just give us all just an introduction to yourselves, just a little bit about, you know, what you've done and where you've come from.
Oh, who first?
We can go in alphabetical order.
Well, does that mean that's me then? All right.
Good work.
All right.
Good stuff.
First by alphabetical order, first by choice. my name's Emily Craven. I am the writer of the Priori podcast. So Priori started off originally as a novel that I wrote back in high school, which was like 15 years ago now. And so since then it has evolved and gone through various writing mentorships and eventually has ended up as a audio script for a podcast. And the reason why I wanted to put this together as a podcast is I thought that it would be a very novel and unique way of putting a story out there. I've always loved audiobooks and I'm a big fan of podcasts like, you know, Welcome to Night Vale that have that, you know, wonderful continuous storyline.
I wanted to try it out for myself.
And I, being a writer, a lot of the stuff that we do tends to be very lonely. So that's why I roped in these poor suckers to help me. Help me out by voicing the dialogue and, in poor Kevin's case, all of the narration for the podcast. So I'm a writer and a producer, and I've been writing, as I said, ever since I was in high school. I am the author of a book series called The Grand Adventures of Madeline Kane, which is a contemporary comedy written as though you're reading the main character's Facebook page.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun, and all the characters actually have real Facebook pages that interact with people, which is also a bit of fun as well. And I also have an app that allows you to do real life choose your own adventures called Story City, which is launching in July. So that's me.
Because you're not busy at all.
Oh, I'm doing all the stupid things like releasing everything in the same month. That's me.
When it rains, it buckets.
And those buckets hurt, man.
Oh, yeah. So that means Sam's next, right?
Yeah, I think I'm next alphabetically. We all have very similar lettered names, I guess. So I'm Sam Piaggio. I'm an actor. I had performed previously with both Colin and Kevin, and I got asked to come in to play the role of Cypress for the Priori podcast, which I was very excited to do. I hadn't done a lot of voice work before, so I thought it would be a great experience. And I came in assuming I was just going to read for this one character, and then that turned out not to be the case at all. It ended up being a lot of going through what characters were needed for each chapter, and then just sort of divvying them out on the spot. And I found it just really very exciting, very interesting to just be given a character and be like, all right, now go do that character right now. and having to come up with a sort of a unique voice for that character on the spot was very interesting. I enjoyed that.
Testing your improv skills.
Yes, which I've been honing recently, as mentioned on the other priority chats that we have, is that I've been doing an improvisation workshop recently. I also do tours. It's my sort of, I guess, my day job or my night job. So I lead people around the city or around a jail and tell people history of the place or the ghost stories that exist there. That's me. I've got a small role in a film, so we'll start filming in a month or so. I think that's what my activities are of late.
How much can you say about the film at the moment, Sam?
I haven't really done more with it since we last spoke. I haven't had a chance to talk to the director and the guy who wrote it and everything to see if what he would like and wouldn't like me to say. I sort of need to get onto him. But a lot of the work being done at the moment isn't, because my character is actually comparatively simple for the rest of the film. Like, everyone else is having to choreograph very elaborate things and work out how the stunts are going to work, and I don't do any of that. And like, my costuming is very simple. No, I don't get any of the fun stuff. I just sort of sit in a booth and watch everyone else's shenanigans throughout the film. So my costume is very easy. My makeup is very easy. Everything that I'm involved in is very simple and hasn't required all the work at the moment. So everyone else is having to run around and do all that stuff at the moment. So my role at the moment has been very easy, but I'm hoping to get in contact with the people involved so I can actually find out what I can control and what I can start sort of sharing with everyone. And so once I know that, hopefully I'll be able to tell people more. I
hate this embargoed stuff. We want to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, I assume it'd be okay. Like, I assume they'd be fine with me talking about most of it. But I don't want to sort of make that assumption and find out I was wrong.
Yeah. Okay, no exclusive for that tonight. Okay.
Yeah. Damn it. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Okay, who's next?
That'd be Kev.
Yes, in the peas, still me. Hello, my name is Kevin Powell. I am a voice actor based in Melbourne, Australia. Priori as a project for me represents two things that I love, because there's two things I'm always looking to do. One is find new people to collaborate with or to play on projects with, and also to be able to bring in a steadily growing family of people that I work with again and again, who it's just a joy to work with. And we were able to do both of those with this, which was a hell of a lot of fun. So I, in terms of what I do with voice acting, I do all kinds of stuff, from video games, which always sounds the most exciting, all the way through to like e-learning and commercial work, which is just as rewarding a challenge. It's all about sort of getting those words in the basket. Apart from doing, voice acting, working on this, podcast, I'm also at the moment, developing one of a stable of three shows to go to market later this year. If you want to find out more about me as a voice actor, you can go to kevinpowell.com, and you can also find out more about Altered, which is the show that I'm developing with a very talented gent in Brisbane by the name of Peter Ball at alteredshow.com. And that's me.
It's kevinpowell.com, right?
That's correct. That's probably a thing I should have said.
That's okay. Look, I'll put links down below in the description, so people will get it right.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Nice. Well, that's me then. Yeah, my name's Colin Smith. I am an actor. I've been an actor for, a few decades now. I'm a very old man. As Trevor can attest to, because, Trevor, you and I met in uni, like, half a life ago, didn't we? It was ridiculous.
Yeah, a couple of Pratchett plays, I believe, may be involved.
Yeah. I was thinking of the time that we were at Griffith back in the 90s.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
I never forget stuff like that. You were such a character. I've been acting since I was a wee one. I took some considerable time off of it, though, after I was a child actor and went and got myself a real job. And came back into it because I was bored out of my mind with the real job. And I've been acting pretty solidly for the last almost 20 years now. I got a degree at the Queensland University of Technology in theatre making, and I've been working with the Queensland Shakespeare Ensemble for the last 10-odd years or so, quite regularly, doing lots of classical theatre. And of recently I've been working with the Queensland Theatre Company, the State Theatre Company, on a couple of projects, one of which is Black Diggers, which is a critically acclaimed show about Indigenous soldiers' experiences in World War I. I've been doing a bit of voiceover for, the last almost 10 years now. And I came into Priori in the middle of a very, very hectic year where I had a lot of stuff going on. And, it was great to be just in the booth and just doing what I probably do best, which is voices, something I want to make a career out of, I guess.
Yay!
And I'm looking forward to, this whole thing coming out and working on Altered with Kevin and lots of other crazy projects as they come by me.
Fantastic. That is it. Thank you. And so I think there's one more.
Yeah. I'm Lois Spangler, and as you can tell, I'm not from around these parts. I'm an expat Mexican-American.
You're what?
Oh, I know. I'm an expat Mexican-American who came to Australia via Texas and New York City and Brooklyn, and I figure the way I keep moving from place to place and the distances, the way they keep growing, by the time I'm 60, I should be living on the moon. So, on the whole, I guess generally speaking, I make stuff up, and occasionally I get paid for it. My preferred vocation is as a writer and an editor. And currently I am working for a company that's doing mathematical educational material for sale both in Australia and in the US market, which is pretty cool. So I'm actually working on material that is going to be used in schools that I once attended.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty neat.
Which means you've got to make it much more interesting than when you went through.
Yeah, it's all new math. Like, it was new math when I went through, so now it's new math. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah.
I am also working on a doctorate of creative industries through the Queensland University of Technology. I am studying the application of an early 20th century literary theory called polyphony and how it works with interactive narrative. Which ranges from tabletop role-playing to things like escape rooms and, of course, video games. I came to Priori through... I came to Priori through Emily, and I met Emily through the craziness that is like Kevin's circle of... he's like an accretion disk of cool people, really.
Good way of putting it.
That's how I describe him to friends. An accretion disk.
An accretion disk.
Quite circular.
Yeah. The reason I can throw around terms like accretion disk is because I once held the illusion that I would be an astrophysicist when I grew up.
So. I understand that. I understand that completely, yeah. Lois.
We've all got weird.
We do have a rocket degrees. Scientist in our midst. So yeah, that's pretty much me.
Fantastic.
I make stuff up.
That's really good. I mean, such an amazing group of people putting together this great cast of characters. And I haven't even heard all of you in the podcast yet, because obviously I'm only up to the current one, which I think is episode 3 I listened to just the other day.
And, I went for episode 4. Here we go.
Taking off episode 4, I'll tell you what.
Ooh, looking forward to that. And So I think we've covered over quite a bit of the stuff that I was actually going to move on to, which is quite all right. So
what can
Emily,
I say? We're great at information.
Yeah, absolutely. You just gave it to me all without me asking. This is perfect. Makes my job easy.
Sorry, dear boy.
So, Emily, what? Obviously, keeping in mind that not all the stories out there yet, what can you tell us about the Priori?
So the Priori follows the story of a woman by the name of Beverly Jordan, a young girl, really. And she becomes the host of this power called the Priori. And the Priori is basically the collective powers of a magical race of people and an evil dictator. I suppose you could call him by the name of the Kraken. He releases this weapon that pulls all of this magic out from this magical race and kills them, but he can't control this power. And so what happens is he sets it free to find itself a host, and this young girl is the host of this power. And so it's come from a very horrible, bad place. And more than anything, she wants to make sure that she doesn't become a weapon to the Kraken. And so her and her brother Charlie basically plan an escape, and they head for this mythical underwater land called Kriana, where they're hoping that they're going to find some sort of safe haven.
Excellent. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to finding out what happens. It's shot to straight up to one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. I will admit that.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
Before we move on to, I suppose, wrapping things up and going into the fine details, was there anything that anybody specifically wanted to bring up? Or
I've got one very quick thing. One thing that's kind of under the skin of how I think a few of these connections were made as well, and I only mention this because it's coming up this year, but it was a few of us actually sort of made initial connections, and I know I certainly latched on to Emily as someone who is keen to make exciting things at GenreCon, which is a Brisbane-based convention primarily for writers, and I'm probably going to be there this year again, even though I'm not a writer per se. But it's a fantastic event, and it's definitely worth looking at if you're based in Brisbane.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I spent nearly 14 years in New York City, and I was very, very impressed with GenreCon. There's nothing like that in New York, because in New York it's a bit too face-heavy, it's a bit too image-heavy, and at GenreCon it's all about talking to people who write and love to read. It's fantastic.
And you can basically, you know, just like kidnap the guests for hot chocolate and which some of us did. May have also kidnapped the guests for dinner at some point.
That's whack.
Yeah.
There could be drunken karaoke involved. I don't know.
Yeah, that too. That's a weird but night. I mean, well, no, in saying that, I actually met Colin the day before we started recording Priori.
We did, yes.
At a drunken karaoke night.
Yeah. So true.
And
I was not drunk, but I karaoke.
No.
A trip.
No, indeed. And you also brought friends along who I later met up at other networking events,
right.
And I was like, hey,
Sylvain, yeah, right.
Sylvain, I know your face. You were at that karaoke night. And it's all because I knew both Lois and Kevin before GenreCon. But yeah, and then Kevin was the one who introduced me to Colin and to Sam, and we made poor Lois do English accents, and these guys are just like the best cast, because I only knew like half of them, and the rest of them came in like troopers on like three or four different days. And as Sam said, we shoved characters at people. We're just like, here, make this one sound new. And, you know, and Colin has this amazing dearth of voices, and so does Sam, and Lois had all of these great American accents that I could never have ever pulled off. if I tried to do this on my own, which was the original plan. Originally, it was to do it on my own. And then I was having a chat to Kevin, and Kevin's like, hey, do you have any things you'd like to collaborate on? And I was like, excellent.
Sounds like a great combination of who you know, genre con, and drunk karaoke. That sounds like a sounds like a perfect formula for anything, really.
That's really not far from
the truth. Fantastic.
And a willingness to, you know, to get together just to create something fun. I mean, these guys, I would eventually like to pay them, but they came together and did some awesome stuff with me. And they kind of trusted that we would produce something okay.
That is excellent. So what pretty should get down to the nitty-gritty here. If people do want to check out this podcast, and I do heartily recommend that they do, where should they go looking?
The best place to go looking is the Original Fantasy website. So that's originalfantasy.com. And we put all of our podcasts up as blog posts on Original Fantasy. And they also have an iTunes feed as well. And basically, when you come into it, episode zero is us shooting the breeze. But all of the other episodes afterwards are a chapter of Priori and a cast chat, very similar to this one, and then a gag reel as well. And so you can find all of those on originalfantasy.com, and we post the podcast weekly.
Fantastic. And again, all the links are going to be down below in the description. So I'm hoping that everyone will click on through, subscribe through iTunes or the favorite podcast player. So yeah, we can share this around and more people can experience it.
Cool.
Excellent. Well, I'm also very mindful of the fact that I'm actually taking you away from your group recording time for this week, and obviously I want to hear that myself. So all I've got to say is, everyone, thank you so much for this, and thank you so much for talking to us at the Rufus Project.
Thanks for having us, Trevor.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you very much.
Hunted by the Kraken, the sinister leader of the Rule Empire, Beverly Jordan must control her powers, known only as the Priori, to survive. Believing her powers fit only for destruction and ruin, Beverly and her brother Charlie set off on a journey to find the fabled haven of Kriana, an underwater world where one can learn to split the fabric of time and manipulate the lines of power, where winged alequines soar through the air, and the shadows lurk in waiting for someone to release them. Will Beverly escape the grasping clutches of the Kraken? Or is she destined to become his weapon?
My brother ceased his watch, vaulting onto the back of Comet. Silent, he jerked his head at me.
Charlie!
I hissed at his back.
The soldiers!
My heart leapt as he edged Comet through the gap in the foliage, eyes intent on the path the soldiers had taken.
Yes, they're out of sight,
he replied tersely.
I've got tight eyes on the gate.
He gave the signal to move.
No, Charlie!
I grasped at his sleeve.
Stop, you two!
A soldier shouted.
Have you been tested? Halt!
And a big thanks again to Emily, Kevin, Sam, Colin, and Lois for chatting to us and letting me do that little hack job on episode one of the Priori podcast. Again, to hear more from them, head to originalfantasy.com or find the Priori podcast on iTunes or through your favorite podcasting app.
Everywhere we look, there's constant reminders of the 1990s. I've spoken about some of my favourite things from the 90s. I'm happy to announce here we're excited about the upcoming 90s music video party taking place at New Globe Theatre, Fortitude Valley, on Friday the 17th of July. From 8:30 p.m, stick around for 3 hours of your favourite 90s music videos on the big screen. Tickets are $10 per person, and you can bring a friend for free. And we have a licensed bar going through until 11:30. Kick back in the cinema with some of your favorite 90s music videos, or cut up a rug on our little dance floor with some of your favorite hits. Let's look back at 10 years of classic music. Tickets are also available at the door. This is Friday the 17th of July at New Globe Theatre. I hope to see you there, and let's party like it's 1995.
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the new season of The Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. And of course, we want to hear from you. If you have any comments, any feedback, any suggestions, any requests, could not be simpler. You can easily find The Rufus Project on Facebook and on Twitter, or you can head to therufusproject.podomatic.com and leave comments below this very episode, right down below underneath if you're on that page right now. You can also send us an email to therufusproject@gmail.com. There is even more you can do to be involved. We have a brand new shirt store, which is actually more in favour of Australians this time around, and has more than one design. I've been putting up designs over the past week, so hopefully you have been seeing those. But if you head to therufusproject.printup.com.au, you can browse our fine selection of designs. And again, the links are right down below if you don't want to write that down. We also would love to hear from anyone with, say, an upcoming community event or doing something a bit different or a bit original or a bit out there, whatever. Again, send us a message. We'd love to talk to you and feature you on our local wildlife section. Of course, the Rufus Project has also become a much bigger beast. The Redeeming Features has now moved on to its own podcast, and you will get to hear the very first one of those in just 1 week's time, where Christian and I have a look at the rather questionable sequel of the Blues Brothers, Blues Brothers 2000, confusingly made in 1998. Not too sure what to expect from that movie? Well, let's have a little listen to a bit of the trailer then, okay?
Hey! What you want, huh? Baby, I got it. What you need? Yeah, I know I got it.
On February 6th, from Universal Pictures, the Blues are back.
I'm getting the band back together.
The last time they played anywhere, they were charged with grand larceny, felonious motor vehicle assault, and damages in excess of $20 million. And you are asking me if I want to join this band?
I could show you all the moves.
My God! Help us!
And this is Mighty Mac, the new lead singer in the band.
I said, hey, hey, hey.
Now, you don't need to subscribe to anything else to get the Redeeming Features cast. It will download automatically from the Rufus Project feed. So, keeping things nice and simple and definitely fun. Now, the moral of this episode of the podcast is Fallout 4! Fallout 4! Fallout 4! Woo! Why do I have to wait 4.5 months? See you next time. Still listening? have I got a treat for you. Because you've listened all the way to the bitter end, you are going to get an exclusive preview of the theme for the Redeeming Features cast. Aren't you lucky? Or unlucky? I guess it depends on what you think of what you're about to hear. Okay, sit back, relax, and have a listen to this.
Boy? Oh boy.
Is it too good to be bad? So bad it's good. What's this? Do you think we should? It's got bad I love dodgy creatures, but we want to know what the redeeming features.
Boy? Oh boy.
Christian and Trevor on the case, watching movies from all over the place. I'm BB, says it's bad, but we want to know, is that fun to be had?
Boy? Oh boy.
Redeeming features.